Steve?
Thank you, Gordon. The truth of the matter is I'd speak about 45 minutes and he'd speak for about an hour and a half, but that's okay. It is a pleasure, and that's usually the way it worked. One of us would start off and the other would finish, and it was quite amazing. It shouldn't be amazing, it's just it happens so often, it's par for the course that our sermons would fit, and I don't know if the songs fit because I couldn't understand a word, but it was a pleasure to be there. We visited, I don't know, about 10?
Yeah.
About 10 different missions, and they were all different, but all the same. Some were a little more charismatic, some were a little more reserved, but it was the same spirit. And so if I, right in the middle of my sermon, if I point to one of you people, which they do, you'll come up and you'll sing a special. And then you can sit back down, and then I may have one or two of you share a testimony. So be prepared. And I'm looking at all of you right now. But it was a good time. People have asked me, what was the hardest thing over there? And there wasn't anything hard over there. Getting there and coming home was horrible. But our sisters, I was going to say our sisters, our brothers too, but mainly our sisters, they really look after us over there and feed us well and make sure everything is perfect. And much like here, we come here and we enjoy the food and the hospitality, and you do make everything perfect for us, and I appreciate it. I did take a lot of notes. I had two journals, and in one I listed everywhere we went, what we did, and so forth, and it's a big journal. And then I another journal, at the end of the day, I would sit down and I would just write down the things that I observed of people. And I did that so I wouldn't forget, because we do forget. And I forgot how long it had been since I'd been there. It had been 15 years. Our sister Lolita reminded me of that rather forcefully. But we do forget. So I did that so I could take that with me, hopefully share some of it with people I come in contact with, because it is, it's exciting. Yeah, it was to me. Even though I had to travel with Gordon, it was still exciting. It was.
You
want to
go back?
Yeah. Yeah, I do want to go back. The people do send their love, and they show it. Sister Leah was on the phone with my wife, assuring her that she was taking real good care of me, which she did. And that is Lodi J's wife, who goes everywhere and does everything. And so they make you feel more than special. I'm going to preach a different sermon. And I want you to know I really did appreciate the sermons that have we've enjoyed thus far, and the one by our brother Brandon about being courageous in these last days, and by my brother Bruce of being prepared. And we are in the last days, and I think I know we all feel that. I know I do. in fact, as I used the 24th and 25th chapter of Matthew for a text while I was over in the Philippines. But when I use that, I always turn to Peter, 2 Peter, and give the account or talk about the account of the last day as Peter portrayed it and what was going to happen, but more especially the statement at the last where he says, seeing that these things, that we look for such things, these last days and the coming of Christ, and he tells us how to be prepared, as our brothers talked about. And I like those three instances that he gives as far as being without spot and being in peace and being blameless. And that's what we're called to do in these last days, and especially in these last days. And I look out in this crowd and I see that I think you have a pretty good understanding, a real good understanding of what it means to put those things in your life and keep yourself unspotted and from sin, and also to live in peace as much as possible. And there's two elements of that peace. One, the peace that we have with people we come in contact with the world, but another one is to be in peace and have peace within ourselves. Though we know what the times are coming, or if we allow them, can be stir us up a little bit, but the Lord would not have us to be stirred up. And he tells us in Philippians, the fourth chapter, how to have that peace, even in the most perilous times. And it's what we think about. You know, if you'll remember that verse, it says, think on these things, certain things, and things that are pure and things that are lovely. And he says, you know, if you do this, you're going to have the peace of God. But as we look at those three things, it's the last one. It's blameless that I think about. To be blameless in our lives. And that's more than just watching what we do. We have a responsibility to those that know not God, to those that we come in contact with, to those that are outside these safe confounds. And we're going to be held accountable for what we do or what we don't do. And that's how the word blameless comes into that. It's not what I'm going to preach on, per se, but it has a lot to do with what I'm going to preach on. I'd like to open with a text out of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. I'm going to start with the 10th verse. I'm going to read the first five verses to begin with. And I believe you all are familiar with this. You know what's happening. This is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, and they're having some problems. They're church members, but they're having some problems. Starting with the 10th verse. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, and that there are no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me. Now he's going to get to where they're having some problems. Okay? It has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. And he says, is Christ divided? Is Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. They're picking sides a little bit and choosing to follow leaders of the church. And Paul is picking up on this, and so evidently, so is Chloe. And there, because of this, there is a little division among them. And they maybe get lifted up in pride a little bit. As I traveled in the Philippines, there was none of that. As I said before, certain congregations were what we would consider very charismatic. And they were not afraid to show their spirit. And others were more reserved. But there was absolutely no division among them. You could tell it was all of the same spirit, yet though they were different a little bit in the way they showed it. And I remember, I hate to say it was the highlight of my trip, but it was the highlight of my trip. I mean, what can I say? It was the highlight of my trip. And we were in a particular mission. No, it wasn't a mission, it was a local. And there was probably 60, probably about the same amount as what's here. And they were kind of in between, you know, they let their emotions go a little bit, and they were doing what I told you I was going to do to you, and some testimonies. But right in the middle, Arturo said, "Brother, I want you to come up and sing." And so he came up, and you could, you know, as much as you can see a blush on a Filipino, he was blushing. And he thought, and then I think it was Lodi J that was playing the guitar. He said this, and he started to sing, and then he shut his eyes, and he began to sing, and you know, it was one of those experiences. I didn't understand a word, but I understood every word, and it was such a spiritual thing, the kind you just hope for at every reunion, you know, and you receive. And then he looked at Gordon and I, and then he would sing a few words, and then he would tell them in English to us. And I was deeply moved, as everyone there. And Arturo thanked him, he sat down, and he said, "This was Pastor so-and-so from this church." Well, I don't know if he was actually a pastor. Everybody's a pastor over there. You know, if anybody who leads a song service or takes extra care for a mission, they refer to as a pastor, whether it be a woman or a man or whatever. But this man was from a different church. And we had such a spiritual experience with this man. And it was the spirit that I recognized and everyone else recognized that he had within him. And he was our brother. Though he was not a member of our church, he was our brother. And I know that Gordon felt that too. And it was most impressive. And it caused me to think, actually, that's what caused me to think about this sermon. And it's why we come to a reunion. I mean, isn't it? I mean, when I looked at myself, I should never be on camera, I can tell you. Thank you for that. But the words were all the same from everyone that was interviewed. It's the spirit that we come for. And in this particular case, it was a unity of the spirit. And that's what I want to talk about today, the unity of the spirit that we have in our church, but with believers, honest, true believers in Jesus Christ. Because they do. Because the same spirit that witnessed to you and witnessed to me that Jesus was the Christ is the same spirit that witnessed to them. The exact same spirit. And I have that in common. I had that in common with my brother that day. I have that in common with many people outside the church. I want to turn to Ephesians. And I'd like to Ephesians 4, the first 8 verses. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as we are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Therefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gifts, and gave gifts unto men. I felt that unity of the Spirit. I feel it now. I felt it then. My wife I'm sorry, she's looking embarrassed already. Put your head down, babe. Cover your ears. She goes to a Bible study class, and she's a leader of a Bible study class now. And she goes with Vivian Gill to this particular Bible study class. And she's feeling the same thing. She's feeling the unity of that spirit with her sisters that she shares this with. And as I think about my duty in this last day, as I think about that command to be blameless in these latter days, I believe that's what we're called to do. I believe that she is feeling that unity of the Spirit with these sisters. And she calls them sisters, and they talk as only women can talk all the time on the phone, but they have a common bond, and it's that spirit. Now, she doesn't know what church they go to, and they don't know what church she goes to, but they all know Christ, and they all have that same spirit within them. So the work is there. The work for you and I to perform in these last days. I want to turn back to Corinthians. I want to read the 16th and the 17th verse. This is Paul speaking again after he's kind of chastised them for choosing sides. And he says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." Did I read 16? No, I didn't read 16. I'm going to read 16 and 17. "And I baptized also the house of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." Now, it brings up a question. Paul knew that he was called of God, and he was ordained to be an apostle, and I'm an elder, and Gordon's an elder, and I see priests and elders out here, and we know what our responsibilities are. You know, I know all the responsibilities that I have being called an elder. But I honestly believe that certain of us are called with certain gifts. And I think the scriptures bear that out. And it behooves us, not just as ministry, but as members of the body of Christ, to know what that particular calling is. You can ask Gordon what he thinks his actual calling, not actual, what his main calling is. Now, you don't have to do it right now, but after the service, you can ask him. He's going to tell you. He told me over there that he's been given to know through the Spirit what his real work in the gospel is. And it's to teach. I'll tell you that. You don't have to ask him afterwards. But, and he knows that through that same Spirit that unites us. That same Spirit. Now, you know, I'm not so sure I know what mine is. I really don't know. But I know that we all have a calling and a purpose. I mean, I know that for a fact. From the oldest to the youngest, you have a purpose in Christ, and a particular purpose. And it behooves us, as the days get shorter, to know exactly what that is, and to use it for Christ and for the cause of Christ. As I read that, read these scriptures, I read 18, and it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." And I don't want to go into that particular phrase, which are saved. I personally believe that he's talking about having that confidence in Jesus Christ when he says, "We which are saved." Having the confidence in Jesus Christ, not in ourselves. And that's what you and I should have, that confidence in Christ and confidence in that Spirit that he placed within us. I'm going to read it on. "For it is," 19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I remember, now I don't remember all of Bob Oldham's testimony. Sorry, Bob. But I don't, I don't remember them all. But I remember this one really, really well. And he was talking about talking to Brother Nicholas Denham. And Brother Denham asked Bob the question, "What do you believe, Bob?" And as well as I remember, Bob said, "Well, I believe the Book of Mormon, and I believe the Bible, and I believe, you know, the Book of Commandments, and I believe in, you know, Christ is died and resurrected." And then what did Nicholas say? "Well, yeah, but what do you believe, Bob?" And now what he said? Yeah, in essence. And I'm asking the same thing. What do you believe, and how do you believe it? It's not necessarily because my mom and dad told me this, or it's not necessarily because Gordon preached it to me. I know something because of that spirit that I'm talking about. I know and I believe it because that spirit has testified to my heart that it's true. And that's what you and I are after. And that is what can and does unite us. And I believe that's probably what Nicholas was trying to squeeze out of you, is that we have this belief in Jesus Christ and this Bible and this Book of Mormon and all of these things that we hold dear because of that gift of the Spirit. But you know, just like every other gift that the Lord has given us, unless we put to practice and we use the Spirit that He's given us, guess what happens to it? It leaves a portion of that Spirit. You can equate that to the talents. You can equate it to the 5 talents and the 2 talents and the 1 talent. And we know exactly how that turned out, because that Spirit that He gave us is a gift, just like those talents. Unless we put that Spirit and test that Spirit and rely wholly upon that Spirit, especially in these latter days, we're going to start to lose it. Unless we unite in spirit and use with each other what the Lord has given us as a group, we're going to lose it. Unless I can unite my spirit with a person outside the Church of Christ that has that same belief, it doesn't matter what I tell them. They're going to be converted to the Church of Christ by the Spirit. And if I share that Spirit, they might. I don't know how the Lord's going to do it. I don't know how the Lord is going to bring everyone into one fold that has that Spirit. But I know He's going to do it. I mean, I know that He is going to bring others into the fold. Just as sure as you stand here and I stand here, I know others are going to stand here also. And I know it's going to be the working of the Lord through the Spirit. I'm going to continue. I'm going to read starting at 22. "For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. You know, I saw in that interview, and I want to continue to thank my sister for that, because I made the statement poorly, that how do you describe the Spirit to someone who doesn't know it? You can't. Okay? You can't. And that's what he's talking about. You cannot describe the Spirit to someone. Because to man, if they haven't received and they don't want to receive, it's foolish. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But there are those that do understand it outside this church. And they deserve the opportunity through God's wisdom to have a greater understanding of the truth. They've already received His Spirit. They already know His Spirit. And I know because of that, that in God's way, they will receive a greater truth. I know that, in spite of our differences. You know, I've known Pat and Gordon for 37 years. Been coming to our house for 37 years, staying there for a conference, and we really love Pat. But Gordon and I are not the same. I mean, we are different people. Gordon's, how can I do? What was the name of that show on The Odd Couple? That's what we look like over in the Philippines. You know, I guess I would be the Felix Unger, and yeah. Well, you know Gordon. He's the other guy. But, you know, we have differences we have differences. I can tell you for a fact that Gordon is a very conservative guy. And, you know, I've always considered myself a moderate. Most of you would probably consider me a liberal. But I've considered myself a moderate, but you know, we have the same Spirit. You know, that's what binds us together. You know, we may be the odd couple over there, but the Spirit is what binds us together, the unity of the Spirit. But there's a reason that we can do that. And I want to turn and get by with this. And we need to be mindful, because Paul didn't write this just for anybody and everybody. He wrote this for believers that have already got the Spirit, the 14th chapter of Romans. You know where I'm going. I'm going to start with the first 13 verses. Him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God has received him, and he's placed within his heart that Spirit. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he regard doth not regard it. I hope this doesn't sound like double talk to you, but he that eateth to the Lord, and he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. Differences, okay? Differences in people. But they still have the same belief in God. For whether we live, we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both to the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. But judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, why did Gordon and I get along in the Philippines? Because we are different thinkers. Because we were mindful of that 13th verse. We made that effort not to put a stumbling block, not to allow our differences of opinions to come in the way of the Lord's work or that Spirit to guide us. If you look back at the problems that we've had in our church back when, what were they? They weren't on what I consider the doctrine of Christ. It was some of the things, and they're important, but evidently they were more important to some people than not putting a stumbling block in the way of another brother. And what happened? We had problems, did we not? Well, if it's that way in the church, don't you think we could be a little more, not generous, that's not the word, but compassionate with people that we know are touched by the Lord's Spirit outside the church, and be careful, be really careful when we talk to them to not put a stumbling block in their way. Somebody will come up, how you draw bees or flies, you know, you get, it's honey or I don't know what it is, but it's the truth. It is the truth. We made a conscious effort not to go there. Not to go there. I'm going to continue. Starting with can't read my own notes. They're in Cebuano, so you know I'll have to. Gordon, can you translate this for me? I'll continue with 17 through the end of the chapter. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Underline it. It's underlined in my Bible. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify one another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but in it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Okay, you say, well, he's talking about flesh and wine. No, if you read that again, it says, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink, nor anything, whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. The Lord, in his wisdom, gave us a spirit to follow. And when we are, dare say, evangelizing and letting our light shine, he's given us the wisdom through the Spirit to where we should, if we follow it, know if we're going to offend somebody. Okay? I believe that. I know that for a fact. And if we don't follow that Spirit when we're doing that, guess what's going to happen? We're going to offend somebody. We are going to offend somebody. And it just like this, it may not be wrong. In fact, it's going to be right. It's going to be right. One of these men who didn't eat meat or drink, one of them's right. Not both of them are right. But it's not worth it. It will come in the Lord's time. Has thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that which he alloweth. Okay, you need to read the whole thing what I just read to understand what that's talking about. You can condemn yourself if you put something out there you know someone else is going to stumble on. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. And whosoever is not of faith, and whatsoever is not of faith, is sin. I want to turn to Alma. The fifth chapter, starting with the 24th verse. Reading through the 30th. Now I say unto you that ye must repent and be born again, for the Spirit saith, if ye are not born again, ye cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Wherefore come and be baptized unto repentance, that ye may be washed from your sins, that ye may have faith on the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world, who is mighty to save and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Yea, I say unto you, come and fear not, and lay aside every sin which doth easily beset. Yea, I say unto you, come and fear not, and lay aside every sin which easily doth beset you, which doth bind you down to destruction. Yea, come and go forth and show unto your God that you are willing to repent of your sins and enter into a covenant with him, and to keep his commandments and witness unto him this day by going into the waters of baptism. And whosoever doeth this and keepeth the commandments of God, from thenceforth the same will remember that I say unto him, yea, and he will remember that I have said unto him, ye shall have eternal life according to the testimony of the Holy Spirit which testifieth of me. And now, my beloved brethren, do ye believe these things? Behold, I say unto you, yea, I know that ye believe them, and the way that I know that ye believe them is what? By the manifestation of the Spirit which is in me. I know when that man was singing that song, through the manifestation of the Spirit, that he was of the same Spirit. I knew it. And everyone else in that congregation knew it and felt it. And I would not ever put a stumbling block in that man's way. Just as Gordon did not put a stumbling block in my way because of some of the differences, and vice versa. I would not do it because of that Spirit told me he was a brother, though not of my church. He was a brother in Christ. That's what you and I have available to us. We don't use that. We don't use that when we go out and do the purpose and the calling and the vocation that God has given us. We're going to put a stumbling block out there. We are going to do that. I am going to do that. I have already done that. And I know where it came from. It didn't come from the Spirit. It came from this guy. From this guy. One more reading from the Book of Mormon. It's the 9th chapter of Mosiah. Sorry. Starting with the 35th. Verse 30 to 42nd. And it came to pass after many days, there were a goodly number gathered together in a place of Mormon to hear the words of Alma. They all were gathered together that believed on his word to hear him. And he did teach them and did preach unto them repentance and redemption and faith on the Lord. And it came to pass that after he said unto them, behold, here are the waters of Mormon, for thus they were called. And now, as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called his people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens, that they might be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things and in all places, that ye may be in even until that ye might be in even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that they may have eternal life. It's a long sentence. Now I say unto you, if this be the desire of your hearts, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord as a witness before him that ye have entered into a covenant with him, that ye will serve him and keep his commandments, that what? That he may pour out his Spirit more abundantly upon you. Now when the people had heard these words, they clapped their hands for joy and exclaimed, this is the desire of our hearts, and this is the desire of my heart, that the Lord may pour out his Spirit more abundantly upon his people, this people. And I know that this is the way it is done, by only following that Spirit. How do you know? And how will you ever know in your life if you are doing the will of God? I mean, really know. The only way you're going to know is if that Spirit tells you. That Spirit told Gordon what his special calling is. The Lord will let you know what His will is for you if you listen to that Spirit, whether it be a still, small voice or whether it be more vocal. We have that Spirit that unifies us. It unifies us together. It's why we've come to reunion. It's why I've come to reunion. It's why you've come to reunion. That we might have that Spirit, what? More abundantly. And when we leave this place, do not let it diminish. Do not let it fail. You do that by sharing. You do that by witnessing through the Spirit that He's gave you. And that Spirit, I guarantee you, will grow within us. I want to thank you for your attention. I want to thank you, those that stayed awake. I want to thank you especially. Thank you.